The year in television has ended with a lot of reruns. Our TV critic, David Bianculli, is here to talk about how the writer's strike is likely to affect what we do and don't get to watch in 2008. And he's brought with him his list of the best and worst TV shows of 2007. David is also the editor of and TV critic for TVWorthWatching.com. Well, let me start by wishing you a Merry Christmas, David.
You too.
So what made your list for the best shows of the year?
It was a fun list to put together. The 10 best, so there's no suspense. I'll just give you the names. 5 Network and 5 Cable. In order where I tried to rank them top to bottom. 30 Rock on NBC, Friday Night Lights on NBC, Dexter on Showtime, Lost on ABC, Heroes on NBC, Nip Tuck on FX, Pushing Daisies on ABC, Sopranos on HBO, Mad Men on AMC, and Damages on FX.
Now, is this evenly divided between cable and broadcast networks because you are such a fair person or because you really believe that half of the greatest shows were on cable and half of them on broadcast?
I tried to pay no attention to where these programs came from. And actually, FX was more represented than I expected it to be, especially when I kept going.
Now, how well represented is HBO this year? How are they doing? Like, they don't, you know, The Sopranos is over. I mean, it ended this year, so
right.
It's still represented on your list. But The Sopranos is over. A lot of their shows are in hiatus or ended.
Yeah, you're sensing a shift that actually I think is occurring. Now, HBO could bounce back with some new stuff that it has coming up in 08, but in the interim, as The Sopranos was ramping down and John from Cincinnati didn't really do anything for anybody, and there was so much time between seasons of The Wire, there was actually an opportunity. And Showtime hit it really big with Dexter, the most successful program they've had. And, you know, Brotherhood is a good show and they've got other things on. And FX, almost every show it's done. Even the shows that have failed and haven't come back, Andre Brower in Thief, have been really good programs.
We've talked about some of the best shows of the year. What about The Real Dogs?
It's been a long time since I've seen a show as bad as Cavemen. And this was such a bad idea. It was based on the Geico Cavemen commercials, which were really good. I hated this show.
Couldn't we have guessed it was going to be bad?
Yes. I don't know how they said yes to this.
What else was really bad this year?
Big Shots and Fat March, both from ABC. Fat March. Fat, just the title. Fat March.
What is it? I didn't see it.
It's a reality show about fat people marching to lose weight. This is the show, Fat March. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself for missing this cultural zeitgeist. It came, it went. I hope it's never coming back. But somebody said, yes, Fat March. Let's do Fat March.
Is reality television starting to bottom out? Because the shows are getting so ludicrous and there's so many of them.
It was starting to bottom out a little. It used to be in the first few years, and this is since the year 2000, so it's in this century. It used to be any show that came up, you know, Joe Millionaire, just because of the novelty factor, could be a hit. Then there were copies, 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 copies. Now they aren't necessarily hits. But if they hit big, they hit really big, so the networks are still trying. The hope is the strike.
Right. And speaking of the strike, there's been very, very little in the way of new television lately because of the writer's strike. Why is the writer's strike so hard to resolve, David?
It's because the last time there was a strike 20 years ago, the Writers Guild of America basically gave themselves a ridiculous deal, thinking that who cares about these new media? And so they got what amounted to like 4 cents on each DVD, thinking, well, you know, I mean, VHS, DVD, what's the big deal? How many of those are going to be sold? And it's everywhere. So now they're saying the internet, what's happening with downloads, with streaming, we want a piece of that. And the big network and studio conglomerations, they don't even want to give them the same percentage that they got for DVDs because they're thinking maybe it is lucrative while arguing that it isn't and that their positions are fair. So both sides realize there's a lot at stake for the next generation.
The late night hosts are coming back,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming back without writers. And then a lot of people are saying they're going to be coming back without a lot of guests to choose from, because a lot of the guests won't want to cross picket lines. Do you have any idea what kind of late night shows we're looking at now? And this includes Letterman, The Tonight Show, Conan O'Brien, plus Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, there are a little bit of differences within that overall general arena. Letterman and Ferguson, because Letterman owns his shows, may be able to still negotiate a last-second deal where he brings his writers with him. As we're talking, that's still up in the air. But the rest of them are going back without writers. Jimmy Kimmel used to be on the upfronts doing improv for a half hour, 45 minutes with guests as they came into the ABC upfronts. I mean, he can make things up. Ferguson is really great off the top of his head. Letterman's a natural broadcaster. And Leno has had decades and decades of stand-up. These guys can do it. It's what they'll be able to do and, as you said, with whom, because a lot of guests are nervous about crossing.
Why are the hosts coming back? I mean, and some of them are writers, too. I'm not sure whether they're being pressured to come back or whether they want to come back to protect their programs.
It's not only their programs they're protecting. They are protecting their staffers. If you think that the writers are only like 5% of the overall – it's like an anthill when you knock one of these things over. There's people everywhere that are involved with this, and a lot of those – are the people that can least afford to lose their salaries. So after a certain point and a certain show of solidarity, they should want to come back. I understand that. Plus, my argument, there's so much happening in the world right now. We need topical comedians.
Say the strike, you know, ended at the end of 2007, which it is very unlikely to.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take to get new programs back on the air?
Some would be able to ramp up almost immediately. Others would take a couple of months. Again, you have a lot of variance from program to program. But if you were able to say, okay, Ollie Oxen Free in January, you might be able to see a real semblance of a fall season. But much past that, and it's any fall season you see will probably be a winter season in 2009.
But are you looking at a new spring season? Is that a possibility?
You mean spring of 08?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think so. I mean, some of these...
Are we going to keep doing reruns through...
Well, there's some shows have been held back because they weren't thought as highly of originally, but now they're sudden little jewels. Programs like New Adventures of Old Christine and Medium and Law and Order are going to be coming back in January. And, you know, you get really excited. I mean, HBO has The Wire coming back in the beginning of January, and ABC has Lost at the end of January. Those are big, exciting things. Fox has American Idol. So there are some tent poles to keep people coming. But the rest of it, there's going to be some really, really bottom-of-the-barrel reality shows coming at you.
I wonder if you think that this strike and all the reruns risk driving people away from television for the long haul, that they're going to find other alternatives back.
I think it will. I don't think it's even just a chance. The last strike, when there wasn't much else but network television, there was no internet 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
The networks lost 10% of their audience because of a six-month strike. If this strike goes 6 months, they could lose 10% again or more, and people could discover the internet and go to other places, not come back. And the networks don't have the luxury of losing 10%. Now, they're losing 2 and 3% of their viewers a year on average as it is. They don't have that many years left to be able to claim to be a mass medium.
Meanwhile, what are advertisers doing? Advertisers buy time way ahead. For programs that they expect to be on the air but that aren't going to be on the air because of the strike.
Yeah, they're getting nervous, they're getting angry, and they're getting cautious. NBC has such low ratings that they're already having to do some buybacks and give back. Nobody writes checks to give money back to advertisers, but that's already happening in this strike. And what's happening if you expected to be advertising new episodes of Smallville on the CW, and instead you have to do a reality show called Farmer Wants a Wife. It's pretty scary.
So the networks are giving back money to advertisers because the networks aren't providing what the advertisers thought they were buying.
There are a couple of individual cases so far where they are giving back money. Most cases, they're just signing up and saying, make goods, which means you will get future advertising. If I promised you this number of viewers and you got 20% less, then you get 20% free in another program.
What do you recommend we television watchers do during the interim of the strike?
DVDs are the biggest thing. I mean, this is really the time. It's sort of like summer vacation or Christmas break anyway. Just stack up things that you read about, you heard about, that you never saw or that you lost touch with early, and go back and, watch three seasons of Sports Night or watch the first four seasons of The Wire. You'll be amazed at how entertained you'll be and how great television can be without commercials or interruptions or being able to watch as much or as little as you want.
Aside from the television strike, were there other big changes or big issues that emerged in television in 2007?
The biggest one, I think, is the internet, specifically the way YouTube is affecting not only what makes a hit on TV, but what makes us talk about TV. And I may be wrong about what I've been thinking for a long time, that as the TV audience dwindles, that we lose our last mass medium. But, for example, Saturday Night Live did the Justin Timberlake blank in a box, I'll say, for the sake of public radio, just a little digital music video. And within 2 days, it was seen by more people on the internet than it was on NBC. And when NBC showed it on its own website, it showed it unedited. What it didn't show on its own air, it was able to show on the internet, on its own website, which means there are different rules. And so you eventually have this mass where lots of people know it. They're not necessarily coming back to Saturday Night Live, but the dialogue is there.
Now, is NBC making a lot of money from its website?
It hasn't yet. Everybody wants to. Nobody can figure out how to make money from it yet, but they all figure out that's where the money is. It's Deadwood. Everybody's going there with a scheme and trying to come out a winner.
I don't follow TV nearly as closely as you do, but it seems to me that as cable networks like HBO and FX and Showtime get better and better at presenting dramatic series, mm-hmm. that the networks are getting deeper and deeper into reality programming in answer to that, or maybe just coincidentally. But it's kind of strange. It's almost like are the networks giving up on a certain kind of program?
They've already given up for the most part on miniseries and on made-for-TV movies. I mean, over the past 10 years, the vast majority of those have come from cable and not from broadcast. Broadcast used to own that stuff. This sounds really cynical, but I think there's truth in it, that the people who are running the networks these days want to please the stockholders, which means you're thinking the next fiscal quarter, you're thinking fast return. And if you can get a quick hit with one of these reality shows, they're so cheap to make, the profits are so big, everybody's happy. But what does that make your network? And, when I talk about DVDs to watch or shows from 10, 20 years ago that are great, or you still watch I Love Lucy and The Honeymooners, nobody's going to watch, The Apprentice Celebrity Edition 20 years from now. If they watch it 2 weeks from now, NBC has made a good call, but not for the long run, not for the legacy.
We're going to take a short break here. Then I'll be back with our TV critic, David Bianculli, and we'll find out what shows he's most looking forward to in 2008. This is Fresh Air. My guest is our TV critic, David Bianculli. We've been looking back at 2007 and ahead to 2008. It's hard to look ahead right now, not knowing how long the TV strike is going to last. Mm-hmm. But given the uncertainty, what are you most looking forward to on television in 2008?
I loved the way Lost ended last season, so I'm looking forward to Lost. And The Wire this year.
Yeah.
Each year it looks at a different phase of Baltimore as a microcosm for what's wrong with the whole country. And this year it's looking at the media. It's looking at TV and newspapers. I'm not going to advance review it right now, but nothing makes me happier than that. So I can't look forward to anything more than that at the start.
Well, speaking of newspapers, this was a big year for change in your life, David. And the changes in your life kind of represent larger changes going on in the culture. Change number one is that you're no longer at the newspaper, the New York Daily News, where you were for years. Change number two, you have your own, and I might say really good, interesting television website. And that seems to be a direction the whole culture is heading in. Explain that particular change in your life.
Okay. All right. So, yes, I'm a microcosm too, apparently. And I really am. There's what happened with me. I got quoted once in another New York paper as saying that I was reverse godfathered. And, you know, they made me an offer I couldn't accept, which is the nicest way of saying that I'm not there anymore because I could have stayed there. But to stay there doing the things they wanted me to do under the conditions and the ways they wanted me to do it just wasn't going to work. But, you know, they're going in a different direction, and I wasn't going to be a part of that direction, I don't think. So then I had to say, well, all right, what direction do I take? And when I was out in L.A. just saying goodbye to people that I dealt with in the business for more than 30 years, the first two or three of them said, you should start a website. And I thought that was something uniquely Californian. And then finally so many people said it that I tried it. So it's TVWorthWatching.com, and the idea is to be positive about TV. And the fact that the domain name TV Worth Watching was still open all these years after the internet started shows you how few people actually try to take a positive approach to TV. And so it's been interesting. It's been so much more work than I expected it to be. It's ridiculous, but it's fun.
So are you spending more time on the internet now than you ever did before?
Yes, and more time reporting than I have in years because I used to rely on the other reporters in the newsroom. Now if I've got to find out what the latest thing is about the strike, I've got to call people and do it myself. So that's trickier. But it also is the freedom of if I'm interested in something, I actually can write about it. And no matter what it is or if it's far afield and I'm doing Broadway with Aaron Sorkin or something else. And that's been invigorating. I didn't even know I needed invigorated, but it's been kind of refreshing.
Well, David, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a very happy and healthy New Year.
Well, you too.
And thanks for talking with us about television.
Thanks. You know I love being here.
Love having you. David Bianculli is the editor of and TV critic for TVWorthWatching.com.
Magnolia trees at night, sparkling bright. Fields of cotton love, wintry white. When it's Christmas time in New Orleans. A barefoot choir and prayer.